Well, it's good to see you this evening. If you turn to Luke chapter 11, please. I guess we shouldn't be amazed at how the Lord's work, but what John just shared with you is exactly what I had on my heart for our devotional time this evening, and that is the power of prayer. And when we come to Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, some very familiar verses related to the subject of prayer, and I'd like to start at verse 9, so if you would find that spot in your Bible. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And then the Lord Himself gives us an explanation of what He just said. Someone has said that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So the further we read on any given subject, and the more we understand what the Lord Himself says, normally the better off we are. So the Lord explains what He just said in verse 10 and following. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. For if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? There's some interesting insights traditionally on verse 11. If he asks for bread, will he give him a stone? The idea there is a loaf of bread normally in Bible times was very small and round, not the big loaf of bread that we would buy at the supermarket today, but generally a little 3.5-4-inch long rounded loaf, dark brown in color. And the Lord is asking this: if a son asked for bread, would his father give him a stone? Something that looked very much like a loaf of bread, but hard, impenetrable, something you could not eat. It may resemble the bread from some vantage point, but not in reality bread. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? The idea there is a fish is something edible, something that you can profit from. A serpent may come from the sea, it may come from the water, it may be close to a fish, but not what he asks for. If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the idea there again is how we view things. Scorpions can sometimes ball up into a little round shell, a little round ball, and conceal the sting. And so the Lord Jesus is reassuring His listeners that when we ask in faith, according to the will of God, we have the promise that we will receive what we ask for, we will find what we are knocking for, and or what we are seeking, and we will find what we are knocking for. And I'd like to take those three levels of prayer and use them in our time together tonight as we consider the subject of prayer. Before we do, let's look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being together tonight. We know that every person here tonight has come with a reason. There's not one here tonight by mistake or accident, but in Your wonderful sovereign plan for us, You have gathered this group together, and we know that You have a message for every person here tonight. Each individual here is very special to You, precious in Your sight. Lord, You know the things going on in our lives and the things we're concerned about and the things we're praying about. And so we ask, Father, that You would answer those prayers according to Your promise. Give us grace, Lord, to learn by faith, to thank You in advance for what You will do, even though we've not seen the evidence yet. Help us to operate by faith and to trust You to do what You will do. We ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. There are three levels of prayer in verse 9. There is asking, there is seeking, and there is knocking. And the way I understand these three levels would be something like this. Asking has to do with present need, because in verse 10 the Lord says, "For everyone who asks receives." I believe that probably refers to physical needs, financial needs, perhaps needs that we would put on a list on Wednesday nights to pray for. We have in our assembly three men at present who are just this week grieving, I guess is the right word, over a loss of their jobs. One man is 53 years old. He lost his job. It's going to be very difficult for him to find another job. Another young man is in his probably late 30s. He just bought a new home. He has two young children, laid off last week. And another fellow, probably in his late 30s, has five children, is thinking that he will lose his job sometime this month. And so that would be an example of asking. Asking the Lord to provide. And when we think of the Lord in heaven listening to our prayers, remember that we have promises in prayer that are given to us in the Scripture. Amongst them are, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." That's John 15. Now, we take a literal view and a literal understanding of Scripture, which means if the Bible says it, we believe it, don't we? And if the Lord Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you," then that is a specific promise that I believe, as a child of God, you and I can go to John chapter 15, we can take our index finger and put it on that verse and go right to the throne of grace and say, reverently and lovingly, but we can say in faith, "Lord, you promised. Here it is." But there are some conditions, aren't there? The conditions are that we are in fellowship with the Lord. And briefly, let me just give a few things we need to just keep in mind devotionally. Peter says that if, as a husband, I am out of fellowship with my wife, it's going to be difficult for me to pray because my prayers will be hindered if I am not dwelling with her according to knowledge and loving her. In other words, my expression of my love for God, my love for the Lord, should be in how I treat my wife. And there are other parallel passages to that. And so 1 Peter 3 says, if I'm not dwelling with her according to knowledge, if I am not loving her and expressing a Christ-like love for her, my prayers will be hindered. Secondly, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 18. If when I come to the throne of grace, there is something in my life that I have not dealt with, that I have not confessed, then my prayer will not be heard. And thirdly, and this is a rather large subject, but it is this: praying according to the will of God. Making sure that what I am asking is in direct obedience to the Scripture. And generally we understand what those prayers are. I believe we are safe in praying for the salvation of loved ones. Does the Lord want them to be saved? It is not His will that any should perish, but that, and please fill in the blank, but that all may come to repentance. So I believe we have scriptural authority to pray for loved ones, friends, neighbors who have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me just illustrate this principle here before we go any further. You may have heard this story. I may have even told it here. I don't know. The wonderful thing about having a bad memory is you get to enjoy the same story over and over again. It never gets old to you. There was a lady in a chapel building on a Sunday morning. She came in and sat down like she did every Sunday morning after the Lord's Supper. the young fellow speaking that morning was speaking on God's promises in prayer. And he made the statement that the Bible teaches that every prayer prayed in the will of God will be answered. And she got up and walked out. She was very upset. And after the meeting was over, the elders and the young fellow got together and said, "We noticed Sister So-and-so walked out of the meeting. She's upset. We'd better go talk to her." So they knocked on her door and walked into her living room at her invitation, and they said, "You're visibly upset about something. What is it?" She said, "Well, here's the story. I prayed for years for my husband to be saved. He was killed last year in a car crash and did not get saved." And she said, "Now, do you see my dilemma? I prayed for years for him to be saved." The young preacher asked her more details. She said, "Well, he had just bought a new car. He asked me to go for a ride with him in it, and I was not interested. So he went down the road, and not far from here, at an intersection, pulled out in front of another car. The car hit him broadside and killed him instantly." And she said, "As far as I know, he was never saved." That young preacher said, "What kind of car was he driving?" She said, "Well, it was," and filled in the blank. He said, "You know, I was hitchhiking that very day, and your husband stopped and picked me up, and we rode for a little while, and I gave him the gospel, and he trusted Christ before he dropped me off where I was going." He said, "I remember the very day." And he said to her again, "Dear sister, God answers every prayer." Now that's a challenge to our faith, isn't it? As we go to prayer, do we believe, or has it become something of simply a habit that we pray? Prayer is work. It's also very serious business. When we pray, the prayer goes to the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit takes that prayer and perfects it and presents it to the Father in the name of the Son. And please note this. God the Father would no sooner reject a prayer prayed in the will of God from a saint than he would from his own dear Son. That's the promise we have. So, asking is for temporal needs, jobs, provision, things of that nature. We call this entry-level praying. And there's certainly legitimate time to pray for jobs and physical, financial needs and the things that we are so conscious of as human beings. Now there's a second level. Here it is, seeking. Seek and you will find. What we look for in life is very important. And we would ask the question tonight, what are we looking for? Most of the time, I believe that it finds its expression in young people especially wanting to know, what is the will of God for my life? Where would the Lord have me go? We have a young fellow in our assembly who is going to Paraguay for a year. And several months ago he asked us as elders to pray for him. Where would the Lord have him go? And we told him that night that Christianity, prayer, is very practical. And God loves you too much to let you make a mistake. So if you want to know the mind of God, if you are seeking, if you're asking the Lord to show you what he wants you to do, he will do it 100 times out of 100. It's very practical, being a Christian. So here the Lord Jesus says, seek and you will find. And then the third level is the one we'd like to spend a little time on this evening. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So entry-level praying is needs, finances. We have an operation coming up. It's amazing how human nature works. We get sick and our minds instantly assume the worst. I have a stomach ache for 2 days in a row, I have stomach cancer. If I have a headache, I have a brain tumor. It's amazing how we operate. But this is something that the Lord understands about us. And so He wants us to learn the practice of going to Him first with every need, regardless of what it is. He loves to have us come and tell Him all that's on our heart. We've said it before, let me just underline it tonight. Go to the throne before you go to the phone. In other words, tell Him first, because He loves to know all that's going on. Not because He doesn't know already, but He loves to hear us tell Him all about it. He loves us that much. So this, the idea of asking, entry-level praying, is needs, finances, things that we're concerned about. Second level, and I believe it reaches a little higher level, and that is knowing what God wants us to do. Where does He want you to go to school? Where does He want you to work? Who does He want you to marry? Where does He want you to put those finances, your giving, and hundreds of other questions? If we will seek, He will make sure that we find. But the third area, I believe, is still a little higher yet, knocking. Knock, and it will be open to you. Hold your place here in Luke chapter 11, and let's look at several verses. 1 Corinthians 16. We'll look at just three verses. There are many others. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 9. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And I underscore the word, a great and effective door has opened. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, and so forth. A door was opened to me by the Lord. And then one more, Colossians chapter 4. And look, if you would, at verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains. If I understand this concept correctly, prayer and open doors go together. In other words, as the church prayed, the Lord opened doors for them to carry out the Great Commission. Remember, the book of Acts really is outlined in the first chapter. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And if you look at a map, Judea was the smallest circle. Samaria was a little larger yet. The uttermost part of the earth was the outlying circles. And that's how the book of Acts is arranged. If you will look at it chapter by chapter, it is the history of the church moving out from Jerusalem, going into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. But as they prayed, the doors were opened. However, beloved, when they did not pray, the doors were not opened. And so the point that we would like to make from Luke chapter 11 tonight is this. Let us be very careful that our prayers are not simply need-oriented. Not simply jobs and finances, even though that is a very legitimate need and a very legitimate prayer. But there is a higher level of prayer yet, where would the Lord have me go? And let's ask ourselves the question tonight. What do we believe the Lord wants us to do with our lives? I was reading behind a man who was in his 50s, and he said that he was saved around his 20th birthday, and he decided that he wanted his life to count for eternity. He wanted to invest his life wisely. And so he said that he decided that he would study and be well equipped in a study of God's Word during the years between his 20th birthday and his 40th birthday. And so, amongst other things, he gave himself to a serious study of God's Word from 20 to 40. Then he asked the Lord to open doors of service for him between his 40th and his 60th birthdays, writing, preaching, traveling, and so forth. Then he said from his 60th to his 70th birthday, he wanted to enter into a counseling ministry, sharing with others what he had learned. That is a man who at least on some level understands the second level of praying. It is more than just what I need today, or this week, or next week. It's looking into the future and realizing that the Lord has a plan, a will for our lives. And it's during this phase, I believe, that the Lord calls people into missionary service. Who knows, from this group tonight, the Lord may be speaking. He may be saying to someone here tonight, there is a work to be done in a foreign field. And I believe the response to in every believer's heart should be, Lord, here am I, and if that's your will, send me. That's how it works. It's in the second level. That is not to say that if we're not called to the mission field, we're not exactly where the Lord wants us to be. The Lord has a will for each one of us. Some it is to be stateside and to work a job and to be a missionary on our job. Others to do the things that God has called them to do exactly where He has put them. But it's during the second phase that we lift up our eyes and we look on the harvest and we realize there is more to life than just making a living. That's a very poor way to invest our lives, isn't it? Some fellow put it this way. He spent the better part of his life in corporate America climbing the ladder of success. And after he was laid off at age 63, they gave him a tacky little pin. And he said that he realized only too late that he had climbed the right ladder leaning against the wrong wall. What he meant was this. Corporate America will eat you up and spit you out. And when it's all over, what do you have left? Now, of course, beloved, the Lord knows we have to make a living. He knows that we have families to provide for and mouths to feed and all those things. But remember, the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the second level. The third level is what we have seen in these verses. Paul said, there is a door opened unto me. There are many adversaries. And in Colossians, he linked it with the prayer exercise, praying for us that a door may be opened, and so forth. In the last, if I can just share some personal experiences, in the last, I would say, 5 years, we have set aside several days in the year to have an all-day prayer meeting. And it was normally because there were things that we were concerned about or we were afraid that there was just this flat feeling, just this lack of freshness amongst us. And so what we did was from 8 o'clock or thereabouts in the morning until about 12, the men gathered and we would pray for 45 minutes from 8 o'clock to 8:45, then take a break for 15 minutes for the bathroom and water and fellowship. Come back together and pray from 9 to 9:45. Take a break, come back at 10 o'clock and pray from 10 to 10:45. Then from 11 to 11:45. And I can tell you, at the end of that session, there were many, many tears shed. It's almost like the Lord comes in by the Holy Spirit after we have spent time on our knees, and He does something. We were praying for a couple in our midst, and this is what I was reminded of when John was sharing his request. There has been a couple in our meeting separated for over 20 years, and they are in their 60s. They have three grown children, and the man came to us some time ago, and he's a solid man of God with a teaching gift. But we began to be really concerned that soon they're going to meet the Lord at the judgment seat, and they're going to have to give an account to Him for their marriage being a failure. And so we prayed and we approached Him about this. And after three approaches, He finally said to us, there's no need to talk anymore about this. Only the Lord can change hearts. And so we prayed. He came by the chapel one Tuesday morning about 8 o'clock. He said, you know, I prayed that you would be here. And he came into the study, he sat down, and he said, the Lord put me under conviction. He said, I approached my wife about proposing to her again, and she accepted. We went to the beach this past weekend. We gathered all of our children together, and we got married. And he said, my children are just praising the Lord and rejoicing. He started crying. I started crying. We just blubbered like two little kids. I said, you don't know what this means. You have no idea. On many levels, probably the most important is we can see God answering prayer. And when He does that, our hearts just overflow. And then to be able to tell the assembly, here's a couple that has been separated for 20 years, so bitter at one another, so angry, now living together, loving one another, honoring the Lord, and working together, serving the Lord in a prison ministry, and going on very well. I believe these are the levels of prayer that the Lord has in mind for us that are not simply need-oriented, finances, jobs, and again, those are very legitimate things. But these are the ones that touch lives. And if I could just take time to share another one with you. We have watched in our area the Hispanic population just explode. There are, well, obviously we're seeing a lot of Spanish-speaking people coming to North Carolina because if you go down to the Department of Motor Vehicles, everything is in both English and Spanish. And this is no exaggeration. And I'm not being critical, I'm just being honest with you. I went through a McDonald's not long ago, and I didn't hear what they said when I pulled up to the drive-in, but I always know what I want. So I ordered a coffee, I ordered a biscuit, and I said, that's all. And someone came over the speaker system and said, I'm sorry, she doesn't speak English. And I was thinking, is this North Carolina? Am I supposed to speak Spanish now in order to make an order? And I love the fact that they're here and they're very motivated, but it's obvious that they're moving into our area. And so we began praying. We asked the Lord to give us somehow an outreach to the Spanish-speaking people. And there's an apartment complex not far from us that is just running over with Spanish-speaking children. We had them into the chapel and had a day of outreach with them, and I'd say after about 2 years, one night on a Wednesday night, a Spanish-speaking fellow came in and he said, we'd like to meet with you and ask you a question. So the elders got together and we said, what's on your heart? He said, there are about 20 brethren-minded Spanish-speaking men here in North Carolina, and we're asking the Lord to give us a place to meet.
We look at him, we look at one another, and we said, we don't even have to think about it. You've come to the right place. To make a long story short, they're meeting in our gymnasium at 9:30 as we meet in the auditorium. And the fellowship has been amazing. I personally believe they'll probably outgrow us. It wouldn't surprise me if we're meeting in the gym and they're meeting in the auditorium before long. And that would just thrill us. We look back now and we see that that is a direct answer to prayer. A door opened. We're asking the Lord. Again, if I can just share some personal experiences with you. We asked the Lord for three new families to come into the assembly with young children. And we prayed for 6 months. And the Lord brought five families in. We looked at one another at the next elders meeting and said, what's wrong with us? We only asked for three, and the Lord sent five. Why didn't we ask for 10? Maybe he would have sent 15. Why do we think so small? And so we've determined that every time we have a day of prayer, something good happens. What if we got to heaven and we're sitting around the Lord and the Lord says something like this? Obviously, I'm speaking in jest, and obviously it's a hypothetical, but, and I say it reverently, what if the Lord were to say, by the way, in your earthly sojourn, did it ever dawn on you that the only thing that ever produced any spiritual results at all in your service was things you bathed in prayer before and after you did them? What if the Lord were to say to us, those things you entered into with little prayer, there were little results, if any. Those things you went into trusting me, bathing in prayer, clinging to the throne of grace, can you look back now and see there was much blessing? Someone has observed that in the book of Acts, after they prayed, Peter preached one message and 3,000 were saved. In our day and age, we preach 3,000 sermons and are glad if one is saved. It may be the difference is prayer. We should pray for John and all that goes into that situation. My, to come to the family of God and be able to share a prayer request like that, beloved, that's where it's at. That's real fellowship. And I trust that we'll pray and cling to the throne of grace and shed tears in the Lord's presence and lay hold of him in such a way that the Lord will answer and this assembly will rejoice in that answer. But my, there are other doors that need to be opened too, aren't there? Are there any needs in Durham like there are in Raleigh? Are there any people who need to be reached in Durham like there are in Raleigh? I believe, rather than starting on the street corner, which we'll get there, we ought to start on our knees in our prayer meetings. And I'm convinced that when the assembly, the church, really lays hold of how powerful prayer is, our prayer meetings will be some of the better attended meetings of the assembly. Vision, isn't it? So, entry level, our needs. Secondly, we seek. Lord, what would you have me do? And finally, we knock. Now, which makes more noise? Well, obviously, knocking. And remember the parable the Lord Jesus told of the importunate widow? He said this widow just kept on knocking. Just drove the master of the house crazy. Does that irritate you? Does that bother you? Irritate anybody? Just keep on knocking. Just keep on. It's like, heaven forbid, taking long fingernails and just scratching down a chalkboard. It just makes your skin crawl. It's irritating. And finally, the master of the house got up and said, what do you want? Please give me what I'm asking for. And the master of the house answered because of her importunate. She wouldn't stop knocking and asking. Beloved, that's work. That's prayer. And may God give us tonight a vision of what God can do in prayer. Now, you're saying, but we're only a small group. You know that three ladies in New England got together on a weekday morning around an old haystack, and they began to pray for the great awakening in New England. Three ladies with a vision, and the Lord answered. The ministry of Jonathan Edwards was born because three ladies got together and prayed, and the Lord shook that part of our country through his preaching. When we gather together for prayer, symbolically we read in the book of Acts that the place was shaken where they prayed. When we gather together and pray according to the will of God, we ask for things, we seek for guidance, and we knock for vision. Lord, help us to see why we're here, and help us to be encouraged to know that God does answer prayer. So we pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for the promises that we have in your word concerning prayer. Lord, the prayer request brought before us tonight, we just lift this family situation up to you, up to the throne of grace tonight. Lord, would you do in every heart and life all that needs to be done to bring them close to yourself and close to one another? Lord, cause there to be great rejoicing when this answer comes. And our Father, we think of our assemblies and the needs all around us. Father, give us grace to lift up our eyes and to knock and to see open doors in our families, in our neighborhood, in our world. Help us not to waste our time, but help us to invest our lives wisely. We ask all of this in our Savior's dear name. Amen.